that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So, Justin, you were in the gym last week, but you've been MIA again. What happened?
Just been busy, although I have been going to my gym just to stay fit, but I'll get back into it. I think I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, so you've been taking the easy path
to exercise. I don't know about the easy path. I certainly have been giving nice, hard workouts, but it's a perfect segue to today's topic, which is taking the easy path. Now, not everyone does this, but with so many of the...
Everyone does it.
Well,
to some extent.
To some degree, yes. Everyone does this.
Yeah.
If for in one way or another. I'm of the firm belief that a lot of people in general, especially of a younger generation, and I've seen this because I've, been teaching now for quite some time for a couple, at least one or two generations of kids. And I see it almost getting a little bit worse, and it's taking the easy path in life. And there's a lot that leads to this, and there's reasons why we take the easy path. Not so much as important as the fact that we are taking the easy path. I guess it is important as the reasons why, although that's not really what we're talking about. We're just talking about ways in life that we take the easy path and how it relates to fitness and ways that we take the easy path, and then ultimately how it is a detriment to us.
Yeah, so obviously there are times where taking the easy path is the right thing to do.
Sure,
a good
sure.
thing, but we're going to talk about being the kind of pseudo-philosophers that we are. We're going to try to talk about things in life where we're taking the easy path maybe is not the right thing, is a detriment to you or to your development as a human, and then how it connects to very similar ideas in fitness. So what's the first idea or example of somebody taking the easy path?
That I see from people of all ages, genders, backgrounds, and I think it's a tremendous character flaw. And I'm sure I've done it before. I'm sure we've all done it to some degree.
I see it. I do this all the time.
And it's avoiding conflict.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about avoiding conflict in the right way, where you're diffusing a fight or you're saying things not to upset someone just for the sake of upsetting someone. I'm talking about when something is not right, when someone is maybe in the wrong, and you avoid letting them know. So if someone is really upsetting you and you sort of just blow it off, or if someone is, talking behind people's backs, stuff like that, instead of telling them how they feel, stuff like this that you see oftentimes in the workplace, in various groups of friends, stuff like that. Like if you, I've certainly had disagreements with friends or falling outs, and sometimes they've used technology to try to control the situation. Like, well, let's talk about this. And they'll try to text so that they can sort of control, and they can only say what they want and sort of space it out so you can't get a word in. Just stuff like this. Also just ignoring things, which oftentimes happens in families. Someone might be doing illegal or very wrong things, and because they're a family member, you just sort of ignore it or you just let it go. Have you seen a lot of stuff like this just happen?
Yeah, you covered a lot of ground.
I covered a lot of it.
Yeah, no. So
I thought I wish I could have been a little more articulate. There's just so many instances in this happens. I see it a lot in the workplace.
Well, yeah, I think it's just you got it right initially. It's avoiding confrontations, and there are times where confrontation can be a bad thing, and there are times where you need to confront a situation. We've all had that situation where, let's say, a boss. There's some kind of we get some kind of an order or direction from a boss that we don't agree with, but we'd rather not confront the boss because we're afraid of the consequences. So sometimes for fear of consequences or just for the anxiety that comes with having to face the situation, we just avoid it. So we do something that maybe we feel is morally incorrect.
We definitely rather have some friends that avoided conflict even though it wasn't the best thing for them.
Yeah.
When they really should have stood up for themselves.
Absolutely. That happens all the time. It's happened to all of us.
It happened to all of us.
So I think in fitness, the comparison to that, I think, would definitely be kind of coming up with excuses or procrastinating. So often, you know, you have to face it. And most of us know we need to work out. We need to exercise. For many of us, we need to exercise more. Or we need to spend more time. We need to work harder. We need to do something. And so the fitness equivalent is often just not facing that, like procrastinating. I'll get to it next week. I'll do it, you know, because that's also something like sometimes maybe like, let's say at work, it's a salary issue. You know that you should be making more money, but you don't want to confront your boss about it. It's like, I'll get to that next week. Or I'll get to that next month or during our review. And then you just keep pushing it. And I see the same thing in fitness where it's like, okay, yeah, next week I'm going to get started. You know, I just got to get past this. I have a wedding. And once I get past the wedding, I'll be ready. I'm good to go. And then the wedding comes. And it's like, all right, I'm a little sick. So once I feel better, I'm going to go. Then it's like, okay, you know what? I just need to get a couple weeks of just getting in here and I'll do some cardio and then I'll get.
Yeah.
And so you see that often. Sure. So I think that's probably the equivalent to that. And it can definitely be a detriment because really a hard start date. And then if you feel like you can push things off now, it's much easier to just keep pushing things off.
Yeah.
So often it's really important to face whatever it is you need to face. Face whatever the challenge is and face it head on.
Very similar to that is also lying to yourself. You know, maybe lying about your level of fitness. Oh, I'm good. Like, you know, I worked out once last week or, you know, I haven't eaten as much today. Stuff like that. Just as you might lie for someone else saying, oh, you know, if someone's doing something really wrong, oh, they're not bad. Like maybe in a sort of an abusive relationship, lying, you know, someone might lie to themselves, say, oh, this person isn't hurting me. Oh, they're not wrong. Oh, it was my fault. Stuff like that where you see stuff, you know, you'll see unfortunate, you know, lying going on. You can lie. I've lied to myself, said, oh, you know what? I'm fine. I worked out twice last week. I don't have to go today. Oh, I've been eating a little bit better. I don't have to go. So I find myself, you know, lying as well as procrastinating as well. So it's definitely something that I'm trying to fix.
All right. Well, went a little dark for a second there. What's next?
So not taking responsibility for yourself. And this is just a classic modern phenomenon. I think that people have always try to, you know, shift the blame elsewhere, but I just see it so much today. Mm-hmm. No one wants to take responsibility for either themselves or their close, their close family. You know, you certainly saw it in the very unfortunate rape case with the father just refusing to take responsibility for his son, the son refusing to really take responsibility for...
Oh, the one where the kid got like a few months
slap on the wrist the terrible thing. So it's just pervasive in life with all the affluenza sort of stuff, just people refusing to take responsibility for themselves, blaming other people, blaming the system, blaming, you know, their luck, you know, how they were raised. And I'm sure you've seen this in fitness as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's almost the same exact. There's no, you know, it's the same thing. It's basically often people don't take responsibility for themselves or their actions. Or they find, kind of like you find excuses, you find someone to blame. So you might say, oh, well, you know, my wife, she doesn't eat well, so there's just always cookies there, so I just end up eating it. Or, you know, you blame the gym, say, oh, it's too busy, or the class isn't hard enough,
too far away.
Or you blame the trainer, it's like, I'm not working hard enough, or, you know, the workout, or the system, so there's like always an excuse, and often it's really just a matter of you gotta work harder, or you gotta put the time in, and so that's very common. It's almost the same thing. I mean, it is the same thing. It's just, it's finding excuses or assigning blame to others instead of saying, okay, you know what? This is me. What can I do to make
blame,
it better?
Who blame their genetics? Who say, oh, I'm just naturally not fit. I'm naturally gain weight.
Honestly, I don't get that much. There aren't many people, like, because at the end of the day, everyone has a goal. Yep. And you have to believe in your goal in order to work towards it. So, yes, genetics play a part. And there are people know, you know, there are going to be people, and they're going to know that genetically, like, yeah, I'm not going to look like Schwarzenegger.
That's what I do. I blame my genetics
but,
for not looking super
but
like a bodybuilder.
People won't use genetics as an excuse for not going to the gym. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that. So I've never seen genetics blamed. You know, you might get somebody who, like, you know, maybe they don't quite work hard enough and they're kind of content with, like, with the way that, I shouldn't say hard enough. Let's say they have
kinda
a goal.
Like
they have an idea in mind. Like, I'd love to look like that, but they don't want to put the work in to look like that. But they'll say, it's just my body. I'm never going to be that.
That's,
you know,
me.
So that,
that's
so
what
that,
I do.
Yeah, I guess so. So I guess that's
not a
to
ton,
an extent,
but a little bit.
But I don't
that.
See it done like super, like as a, for somebody kind of using it as an excuse to not work out or to not put, you know, the work in. Like I said, it's just kind of there, but I wouldn't categorize it as.
I use it as an excuse not to diet. Well, I just I just look like this anyway, so.
That is true. All right, so what's the next one?
Something I see so much just in general, and it's just it's naturally built into us, and it's avoiding any type of discomfort.
Yeah.
And I think that people never want to, it's so pervasive in life. People never want to put themselves through anything that doesn't feel good. Like mm-hmm. everyone just wants to feel good and have fun and just be comfortable all the time. But generally, in order to make gains in life, you have to go through periods of discomfort. I see it with my students where they just want to be great or they just want to think they're great without having to really put in the work. And you know what? Playing an instrument or getting good at something, getting good at a sport, while it can be fun, also requires, you know, discomfort, whether it's mental energy being put into something, physical energy. Another way that we see avoiding discomfort is you don't want to deprive yourself of certain foods. You want to eat as much dessert as possible or unhealthy foods that taste good. Why? Just because it tastes good and it makes you feel good at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's basically the same thing. You don't want to go to the gym because it doesn't feel good to you. Mm-hmm. Some people it does, but there's a lot of people that don't enjoy it. It's not fun for them. So they don't want to do it. It's avoiding discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, it's like one in the same. That's another one in the same. To make progress, in your fitness, it generally requires you to push yourself beyond what your body is used to. So often, for most people, that's would be categorized as discomfort. There are very few people that are so masochistic that they enjoy that, like, kind of pain of exercise. I mean, we certainly feel some sense of satisfaction, most people do, but no one loves, like, that feeling. I mean, few people do. Sure. But so just by its nature, exercise requires you to requires a certain level of discomfort. So I see it often. I see it more in classes. I think people with training, people kind of are aware, innately aware that, like, I don't like this. I don't want the discomfort. So I need somebody to make me do it. I need the accountability. So I don't get as much with personal training. You get people who complain about it, but they kind of know. But in classes, I'll definitely see people who, as soon as they reach that, like, kind of small, low discomfort threshold, they're like, it's it. They can't do it. And so, yeah, that definitely, it's directly equivalent. Like, you know, unfortunately or unfortunately, in fitness, you have to push yourself. You have to work harder than your body's used to, which is going to, again, it's going to be discomfort to an extent.
One way that I see it really manifesting is in doing new workouts or trying new things. And it's just in general in life, you do what is familiar. What is familiar is comfortable. You see people staying in relationships because it's familiar and comfortable. You see people eating at the same restaurants because it's familiar and comfortable. Now being familiar isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it prevents you from really expanding and getting out there. So a lot of people, because they use the elliptical and they sort of got a little good at it, they'll just go there and just do the same workout. They'll just do the elliptical because it's easy for them. It doesn't hurt very much. They've made their body. Or maybe all you do is a certain type of lifting weights. So not only is it psychologically comforting to do that same, you know, lift, but you're good at it. So it doesn't hurt as much and stuff like that. I'm sure you've seen that as well.
There are definitely times where it's a good thing and a bad thing. I think if it's keeping you fit and you're maintaining and you're happy with what you're doing, I think it's more important to do something you're happy with than to change things up just for the sake of changing things up. That being said, if you have a particular goal, then you might need to you may need to change things up. So I think there is a point where the mental comfort is important.
Sure.
So you may, you know, it's like you mentioned, like, relationships. Like, there, if you're with the right person, you're gonna be comfortable mentally,
sure.
And don't need the change. Versus, like, if you have a specific goal and the person you're with is not the type of person you want to be with, then obviously, we do see situations where somebody is with someone because they're comfortable, it's easy, but they're not happy. It's not the right person. Yep. And that's different than, like, if you're with, you know,
with the right
and
person,
same thing
sure.
with the exercise. Yeah. If you're doing if you're in a CrossFit gym and you love it and it's good and it works for you and you're happy,
that's healthy.
Then you stay good. There. But if you're there just because it's, like, it's part of your routine, but you're miserable or you don't like it or you're not happy with it, then obviously then it's time to change. So yeah, there's a little, yeah, I think we do have to differentiate between, like, kind of the mental and emotional comfort versus, like, the physical. Well, I guess it is kind of in the same way. Like, there's the mental. It can be
people don't want to undergo emotional and
well, change
mental
is tough
discomfort.
Sometimes. So for some people, it's easier to just stick with the same thing, and sometimes that's not effective, or loses its effectiveness when it comes to fitness.
So another one that we see is sort of either relying on technology, relying on the work of others, or relying on just other stuff instead of putting in the work yourself. Mm-hmm. Just a sort of very common example of this is just, you know, taking a cab or, you know, an escalator instead of walking a few blocks, instead of walking upstairs, stuff that, you know, we've talked about. Little things like that are good for you. It's like, yeah, is it you know, make or break? No. But, like, though, that stuff adds up, and just sort of little bits of activity really yeah. help
well, also,
with your
even
overall fitness
in life,
level.
Like, one thing I like going to is, like, research now consists often of just going on Wikipedia. We do it, too. I mean, you
sure.
know, but it's like when it comes to, you know, if you want to research something, a lot of people, they type it in, go on, you know, look at the first website that comes up, or go through Wikipedia rather than actually doing some real extensive research. Sometimes, you know, whenever I'm, like when I'm researching for something we're talking about, or if I'm writing something, you know, it's easy to just type whatever it is in and just go to Wikipedia and look at, but really you have to go through and look at the real research and look yep. at the real studies. And oftentimes people don't do that. So I think we see that digitally, people take huge shortcuts and just rely on the technology available. Sometimes we kind of going back to one of the earlier topics, but like if there is a confrontation, as you mentioned this, but like let's say there is a confrontation or a conflict, instead of actually going up to the person and talking to them where you can understand context and you can understand their tone and body language, just sending an email, which can then further kind of cloud
nothing
problems.
I will never do that unless it's a real detailed email where I sort of spell stuff out,
yeah.
and then I'm accepting of a phone call afterwards.
Yeah.
It sort of like gets the stuff off, gets the points. But yeah, I've never liked that sort of just leaving a text
will say,
or an email.
I'll leave one like little caveat to that. I find personally that I can articulate my thoughts better in writing, especially when I'm angry,
yeah.
than I can verbally if I'm upset
yeah,
about
yeah.
something. So sometimes it's easier for me to actually write out and send
yes,
the email
which
first.
Which is okay if you're accepting of a discussion
yeah.
afterwards.
But we do see sometimes where people
just
do something.
Just to do it.
Like,
just,
you've heard of people breaking up via text and just things like
yeah.
there's certain things where you should do in person.
Oh, I've had experiences with that where emails or texts were sent with a list of things. And I was just like, and they were out of context and clearly just meant to be able to say what they wanted to say without getting anything back and being able to sort of, that to me, there's very few things that piss me off more than when someone does that. It's just so dehumanizing, dismissive, and it's just really, you know, really gets to me. Now,
if you really want to upset somebody, it's a great thing to do. But
yeah,
it's
but that's
true. All right, so now the gym equivalents. Again, a kind of reliance on technology. I'm seeing this a lot. So people wearing pedometers or like they're wearing like the Nike as a Fuel Band and Under Armour has one and there's the Up. And they can be useful. They're really great for awareness of your activity. But an over-reliance on that sometimes can be problematic. I know one person who just, he's always looking at the calories he's burned. And it's like, sometimes you just be active. Don't worry about the calories. Or relying on some kind of piece of equipment that like that's going to change everything. I just need that piece of equipment. Or people who want to wear like as much as I talk about how horrible it is, I have people who I train, I've been training for years, who still want to wear those stupid like sweatbands, you know,
yeah.
even though I've explained that it's ineffective and it doesn't help and blah, 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 they still want to wear it. So sometimes there's an over-reliance on some kind of device or technology that somehow the person thinks that by using this is going to make me more fit or give me results. And it's not. They're often aids and they can help, but they have to be used, you know, to help, to guide you through it, not as a distraction or as something that you can look at as to almost to make it create excuses or that can be frustrating. I equate this sometimes to when I used to ride a bike around the city. I tried once using like a rear view mirror on the bike, and I found that on a bike, the rear view mirror is just distracting. It just took too much attention to focus on that. And what would end up happening is I was so focused on what was behind me that I wasn't using the other things like my peripheral vision and my hearing. Mm. Those are things that you can use to kind of give you an idea of where you are in space and what's around you, where if you become hyper-focused on one thing, you lose sight of everything else. And so I actually stopped using the rearview mirror pretty quickly because I just felt for being on a bike, it's just it's a huge distraction. And often, you know, the other technology and other devices kind of do the same thing where they just become more distracting than they are
sure.
effective. All right. So
absolutely.
I guess, and what?
Well, it's funny because you actually mentioned this term a little while back, and it's the term shortcut, and it's something else that people do all the time in in so many aspects of life. I see it very often with my students wanting to be great, sort of, and I'll stress over and over again, remember, you want to learn the full technique, or you want to learn the theory behind it. And in the student's mind, they think, they sort of decide what they think, and I've done this myself for sure, they decide what they think is important information. It's like, well, I just want to play this song, so if I just learn where to put my fingers, that'll be good enough. And, you know, they sort of justify that, and maybe in the short term, they're like, oh, look, I play a song. And then I'm like, then later on, when I'm like, well, how about, remember the technique that we learned, like, oh, what technique? I'm like, remember we worked on in the song, but they weren't paying attention to that. They were only paying attention to the micro task at hand. Yeah. Other ways that you see it, people love their get rich quick scams. You know, maybe buying a camera and just doing a little bit of research, then thinking that you're an expert. Photographer, videographer, I see it, you know, with music production, people think that just because they buy a computer and a software program means they know how to produce music. I see it so much with the coddling of our youth. It makes me sick the way that kids are not given awards based on merit, where it's just there, it's okay for participation. I'm okay with participation if it's good, solid participation. But if a kid is not doing well, but it participates and does a poor job because of lack of work, you know, and ethic, I'm not talking about skill. Like, not everyone is at the same level of skill. I'm okay giving awards for participation, but good participation. And I've just seen so much coddling of our youth. It really bothers me, and it's really detrimental for them, and perhaps we're seeing some of it come out in the fitness world.
Well, we see it. We see shortcuts all the time.
It's fitness. Like, that's what the fitness industry is based off.
Yeah, so we see it with, like, crash diets are a huge thing. We'll see it with whatever the new quick, you know, get fit quick kind of scheme is. And it's always easy too. Obviously, it's something that's going to be, you know, not
easy,
take a lot of work,
fun,
and
no discomfort. Fun,
yeah, so we see that a lot. We see it with all the different fads. New equipment comes out every week. New devices, new diets. So we definitely see in the fitness world that all kinds of shortcuts that are just prevalent.
Really, it just fosters just a really bad character flaws in just being lazy and having a sense of entitlement, thinking that you should be good at something just because you do it, or because you've been good at other things, or if someone has awarded you in the past that you should just be able to walk in and be great at something. And in fitness, we know that it doesn't work that way, that, yeah, some people are more gifted than others, but it's a merit-based thing. You work hard, and that's how you get fit. How you improve. And I think that just sort of this pervasive concept in society of, you know, of coddling and just getting good at something quick, or just never wanting to put in that elbow grease, is just really detrimental for so many people.
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree with that.
Yep, and sometimes taking the easy path results in people doing things that are either illegal, immoral, against some rules, whatever it is. And that's sort of the last thing we're going to talk about. And that's cheating.
Okay.
Whether you cheat on a test in school, whether you take credit for someone else's work, you steal from someone, you steal an idea, or you steal people's property, whether it's out of jealousy, or just because you don't want to work to have something. And once again, we see this in fitness, and especially in sports.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll see in sports, I guess it would come to using performance-enhancing drugs.
Yep, so it's a big one.
Steroids.
Some people just cheat in general.
Cheating, yeah. Just cheating, doing things that you can get away with behind the ref's back, or even techniques that you kind of do in front of the ref, but they're just kind of accepted as, okay, they're going to do, you know, kind of like dirty boxing type of things. But then, you know, in the gym, I think you'll see people, that, whether it's like, you know, I mean, this is, I guess it's tough because I feel like, you know, there are a lot of people who do steroids and it just that do it to look better. So is that really cheating? Because it's like, I mean, you're doing it to yourself, you're not competing, but it's taking an easy route. So maybe that would fall into a different category.
Route, and because it's sort of taking the easy route and you're sort of cheating.
Well, theoretically, maybe, but maybe you're maximizing your potential. So, I mean, there's
maybe
arguments
it's
to be
tough,
had.
But we know that we know what effects steroids can have on the body unless they're really properly monitored by a doctor.
Yeah. And then you've seen, you know, unnecessary cosmetic surgery is another thing, an area where, you know, it's like doing something because it's, again, it's more the easy route, but it's kind of like you're cheating yourself.
No, sometimes cosmetic surgery, especially something like, well, a liposuction could be really good for people that have real genetic issues with weight gain or maybe have gotten to a point where it's too difficult for them to learn. And then from there, they want to do healthy and change their lifestyle. So that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of times people just get it because it's just to do it, you know, easy. It's like they don't have to do it. And I think that if you're someone who cheated a lot, that you didn't want to work and you would steal and you would cheat on a lot of tests. You know, we've all done it a little bit. I'd cheat on an answer here or there. But in general, I didn't like doing that. I liked earning my merits. So I you know, everyone would do it a little bit. But in general, I think that if you cheated a lot, you stole a lot and stuff like that, you would have no issue at the gym with trying to get results by using every other means, you know, supplements, you know, steroids, stuff like that.
Okay. I'm going to start a drinking game. And it's going to be every time you say stuff like that, we have to take a shot.
Okay.
You don't notice it?
I'm sure I do. It's sort of
like, I'm sure I have my own many things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I just
you know what yours
you
is?
You say stuff like that so much.
You know what yours is?
What?
At the end of the day.
Probably. Yeah. I do say that a lot.
Say at the end of the day.
It is what it is. I was called out for that too. I don't know if I say it on the podcast.
You don't
much,
say it very much
it
on
the
podcast. There, we could have an interesting podcast on the statement, it is what it is. Because there's so much that goes into that. Just sort of the concept of you're just being too accept, but it is what it is. You're being too accepting of stuff like that. You're accepting things instead of fighting for better. And sometimes it's just, well, it's a way of explaining the situation. So it's actually a fascinating statement. It is what it is. I think sometimes it's used once again as a sort of as an excuse, as a shortcut. And sometimes it's just explaining the situation.
Yeah. You're right. It'd be interesting. I guess it'd be a cheat meal, right? Because I guess we could talk about it in fitness terms, but that would be more.
Well, we sort of have talked about it in fitness terms.
Yeah.
When it comes to either not taking responsibility, it is what it is. You know, my body's going to be what it is. You know, or you know, blaming
but
no, other people.
As a statement in general, you're right. Like when are you saying it in a situation where you're just saying it because you're giving up? Versus like
or someone else is
action.
Giving up referring to that's something true. Of that nature and or something that it's just there's actually a situation going on right now which I'm not going to talk about which is a very it is what it is situation I know I'm being extremely cryptic but I'm just not going to reveal it but maybe in future episodes I will
is?
you might
interesting
it's nothing crazy I guess we left out one thing
what
I guess we end with this, and it's just quitting.
Yeah, that's I'd say that happens in life and in fitness often.
If you quit at things, and I've known a lot of people, once again, students that were talented, just didn't want to work, so they just quit.
Yeah.
Right? And if you quit, if you're used to quitting, that's why, you know, it's just not a good flaw to let youth and students quit at things, right? Now, that's something, if you really don't like something, then it's not really quitting. But if you're just quitting because it's too difficult or because you don't want to have to endure anything, there's a good chance that you might quit at other things in life as well. And certainly fitness is one of them.
Well, going back to theme, it's like quitting is a way of taking the easy path.
Yep.
And it's not good mentally. It's not good physically, especially when it comes to fitness. We see it all the time. I think often people quit, but then they restart. For most people, it's always in the back of your mind that you have to exercise or you have to eat better. So I think there's never like, I had one person in my entire like kind of fitness career who just was like, I give up. She literally said, I give up. I'm done. I don't care anymore. I just want to go home and eat as much ice cream as I can, and I really don't care. And she really said that, and I never saw her again at the gym.
Yeah.
So you do, I guess I've had that happen once, but generally.
Maybe that's just a momentary.
No, no, I don't think. Well, maybe. I'm sure.
For most people,
I'm sure at some point.
Oh, I quit. I'm just going to do this.
But I think most people, it's like they'll quit for an extended period of time. It might be years.
Yeah.
But most people have it in the back of their mind that they'll get back to fitness, where I think if you take on a new, let's say you want to learn how to play guitar or learn a new skill or something, sometimes it does happen where you're just like, I'm done. I give up. I quit. But it definitely has parallels in life and in fitness. And it's important to stick with it or find an alternative or find a way around it, especially with when it comes to exercise. But anytime you take on a task, I think mentally it's hard. Well, I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing if there's studies like on whether it's harder mentally to just quit or if sticking with it but maybe not being as successful as you'd like to be is really harder on you mentally. It'd be interesting to see what the studies say on that.
We could almost do a podcast on quitting and starting and quitting and starting. I think that's it's an interesting one, and a lot of people do that.
We'll talk about it. Actually, that's a good one. I'm going to write that down. Well, as usual, all of our stuff is on social all of our social media stuff, or all of our stuff, email, social media is
now who's the one saying stuff?
Yeah, you're right. Stuff at the gym, stuff like that. Yeah. TheGymWits.com. You can find our email, our social media links, and everything if you want to. Contact us. You can ask the trainer, go to the Ask the Trainer section. If you have an idea for a podcast, send us a message there. Sure. You can download the app. We're in the iTunes store, so feel free to download the GymWits app.
And at the end of the day, we're here for you guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, as usual, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the GymWits.